Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage.
E3 is one of the biggest events for Gamertag Radio.
Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
We bring you interviews and commentary from all the E3 2017 press conferences,
roundtable discussions,
all the latest gaming coverage,
developer interviews,
the latest news from the crew.
A Gamertag Radio exclusive.
Here we go.
E3 2017 coverage starts now.
All right, welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 669. This is your host, Danny, and we have the co-host of the show. Let's start with Paris. Paris, what's up, man?
How you doing, man?
Good. Good. Been drinking a lot today, but I'm good.
I don't think people listening needed to know that.
Okay, well, thank you. There you go. And also, we have P-Rock in the house. Pete, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good, good, man. How was your day today, man?
It was a long day. It was a very productive day for the crew, I want to say.
Yes,
so
very
shout
true.
Out to y'all for working tirelessly.
Why do you keep staring at me when you say that? You don't have to look at me to say.
All right. Danny, thank you for a very productive day.
Thank you, sir.
You know where you can
and
go.
And you still was looking at me.
Yeah, you know where you can go with that.
Also, we have a special guest, Pete. Who's this next to us,
we have
man?
The infamous. Dan Hevia.
The one and only.
Okay. What's going on,
Dan? Should I look at Paris as I say?
Dan, this is not your first time you've been on the show.
Yeah, I've been on the show right after you hit a milestone, and now it's the milestone of E3 2017,
man.
Where we all perish real quick.
Very quick, for those that don't know, what is it that you do?
I'm currently working with 505 Games. I do community and social and influencer marketing for them. So I try to make our games as amazing as they are to as many people that would love to see them.
All right, man. Well, thank you for joining us, man.
I'm psyched to be here.
You've been having fun, right, during E3
yeah,
so far?
Yeah, it's been interesting. It's definitely a different dynamic this year because you got a lot of people on that show floor. So it's a lot of...
Oh, my God. We got to talk about that.
It's very, very different.
This is the last E3.
I think for you,
I'm not coming back if it's like this.
Oh my God,
I'm not.
It was a mission. I'm not gonna lie, it was a crazy mission just to go to like an appointment today. Like last year, it was a little bit open because they had like you know Sony and Microsoft and every other company invited their fans. It was a little challenging, but it wasn't that hard. This year has been the hardest out of the 12 years that I've been. Going to E3, it's just been tough.
You have to take into consideration, it's not just those additional, quote-unquote, fan fest attendees from each of the majors, but then you have an additional 15,000 people in the halls. We touched on this last year when it first came to light, and now walking through the halls, it's funny, my wife told me this when I told her about all the additional people, and it's like... Having the busiest day at work coupled with bring your kids to work day.
Basically.
Yeah. It's scary. Look, last year was limited to, I believe it was 5,000 prosumer passes, they called them at the time. And I don't think that all of those were actually given out, so the impact wasn't too great. This year, it feels like a packed Saturday, and that's rough. That's rough, especially for traditionally an industry and media show where the goal is still the same for like you guys, for us, where you want to get business done and you want to have everything done. To have it not as free moving as it was before. I mean, I was in the South. I think the South Hall is worse than the West, or is worse than the West Hall. And getting around is, it took me half an hour to get around to Activision's booth.
Here's the crazy thing. Like last year, the West Hall was worse, and the South Hall was like kind of empty. And ever since they moved Microsoft right to the entrance of the South Hall, has been the worst area to. And not only that, Activision used to be in the back in the South Hall. Now they're in the front right next to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Right now, Activision is promoting, you know, the new Call of Duty, Destiny 2, and there's a bunch of people just lined up there, man. Lined up. But I actually went to the West Hall today because I wanted to check out like the Nintendo booth. Man, it is bad. Is way worse than Microsoft and Activision.
Yeah, Nintendo's booth is especially bad. They built New Donk City in reality, and it's one of those things where you can't see the floor. You can't see a spot at all. And
at all.
The worry for me is that even the people that paid for tickets, you're not going to get the experience that you wanted. You know, other than taking pictures in the middle of the show floor, like, and which is one of the biggest problems. It's like, just keep moving. Mm-hmm. And it's rough. It's definitely rough. I think the West was better than the South, but it's just, I think the South Hall definitely suffers from a layout problem. And the booths are still built for business.
Mm-hmm.
They're not built for a whole bunch of people to play a whole bunch of games. So lines were capped very early. Destiny 2 was, I got there at 1:30 p.m. I walked by the Activision booth and they said Destiny 2 was capped for the day. And the show floor closes at 6 p.m. So I'm assuming the demos are half an hour long and they have enough people there that it's, you're talking about 5 hours out, we're closed.
I'm wondering, like, what is it that Activision is showing with a Destiny 2 game? Do you know, Paris?
They're showing exactly what I played
the same thing
event.
With I a mean, Strike, or what is it?
Strike, Crucible Map, and I believe that very first mission.
They did have that same issue, though, right? Because I think the Strike was a little bit too long, and was it difficult that there was too many people?
I don't think what they're presenting is the issue. It's the fact that you have Activision and Microsoft right at the front of the door. So people aren't moving. They're coming in and they're stopping right there. And it's just creating this bottleneck. And it's like, it literally mentally stressed me out. I swear to God, I will not be here next year. I'm telling you this right now. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
If the public, if it's 15,000 plus next year, I'll do pre-E3 and I'm going home.
Hey, that it's not bad. I mean, we did a lot, and it was because of the whole pre-E3. You know, Xbox had their showcase. Ubisoft had their private media event, kind of like a showcase. We got things done.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
And again, I'm being dead serious when I say this.
Yeah.
We're to do a job.
Yeah.
I could not do my job today. I went to Bandai Namco to cover three games. And they were so behind, I only got to see one. And I couldn't even do interviews.
Wow.
Because they were that behind. Because no one can get to their appointments on time. That's a problem.
Yeah, it's a problem. Now, what should be the solution then? Not have it public or have it...
Like it was said, like we were talking about this before. They need designated media today. If today was the quote-unquote media day and the convention center just was a ghost town because it was only press that was in there, so be it. We get in there, we get our appointments done, we get out, everyone wins, then Wednesday, Thursday, or whatever you want to do, bring in the public, let them do their thing, and it's fine. I'm not saying every day needs to be media only, but we need a couple days. Like I said, pre-E3, we got more done then we will get done the rest of this week. Mm-hmm. And that's just because there's too many people in the way. I know I sound like I'm complaining because I am.
Right. I think compounding it into one day might be a little tough to do. I think expand it to Friday and split it two and two.
Well, you know, I talked to a nameless EA employee about this, and he told me just the money that would need to be spent
for one additional day to power, etc. Manpower.
From kind of a company point of view, it's like you're putting people in a position where they have to work another day,
right,
where they have to be on the floor another day. And listen, I understand, like, I've seen comments where people are saying, you know, this is chaos and they shouldn't do this anymore. And then the response from fans is, it's our dream to come to E3. I love that. And I love that passion. And I want people to see what they see. On the flip side of that, this has always been an industry event where they go harder because there's a lot of business being done behind the scenes and a lot of things that are seen that won't be seen by the public for a long time. And if you look, you do have PAX Prime, PAX East, PAX South, PAX Tabletop, Tokyo Game Show, Gamescom, not to mention every single national and regional Comic-Con that you do have the opportunity to do these events at. E3 traditionally has been about business. Bringing this many people in, it's just a bump way too far, and adding more days is going to add more stress to the employees who and companies who are already spending a lot of money to do this stuff. And it's the most interesting booth to me was Take Two. Did you guys walk by Take Two?
Yeah, we did.
Take Two was like Fortress of Solitude.
It was fantastic.
Yeah, we actually went inside.
Yeah, we had an appointment in there.
We had an appointment there. Yeah.
It was serene. It was calm. It was tranquil. It was a beautiful respite and oasis in the middle of a maelstrom.
Yeah. Out of all the booths, that was the one that was like
a little inside baseball. That whole booth is modeled after their office. In New York, so it's like it's just walls, and nobody's going inside unless people that are doing business. Mm-hmm. And they got like a pool table in there. It looks really, really nice. And I was walking by that, and I was like, they kind of laid it down. They were like, yeah, we'll be here, but nobody's coming.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. I think last year I felt that having the companies inviting their fans was a lot better, I think, in my opinion, last year than this year. This year is the combination of both. Their fans plus people that bought tickets through ESA, it was just like too much, man. It's too much.
And
too
last year, companies were very, I don't want to say tight, but when it comes to it, they weren't, for the most part, they weren't just giving out passes. They were giving out trips with those passes. So there was a financial incentive behind it to say, all right, we're going to limit the budget to X, so we might not give out those 5,000 seats. Mm-hmm. In this case, not only do you have those people just hitting the show floor, but you have those people hitting the hotels, hitting the flights, hitting the entire area, where it's hard to manage that. And even for, you know, mid-sized to smaller companies, you know, they'll be out in Sherman Oaks rather than and taking a 45-minute or an hour Uber into town. It's hard to do business that way. It's just not going to work.
You know, before we change the topic, I think the perfect way, I think it will work, and I have to give props to Microsoft, because they on Sunday, they had Xbox Showcase. So they had the media in the morning, media in the afternoon, and they had the fans only. No media at all. Only the fans at night play all their games and everything, and that's it. I think that will work if they could do
off-site
that.
Off-site stuff kind of helping.
Away from the convention, away from E3, amazing. Great. And at the same time, they get to meet like the developers, you know, the top execs from Xbox, and they're there playing the games, man. I think that will work if they just do that, you know, before E3, you know. So, and also the E3 Coliseum away from the convention center, I think that's great.
I think that was part of trying to kind of limit the
impact,
stress on the building itself. Mm-hmm. And but they looked like they were tapped out right away too. Where they were like, we're not letting anybody else into E3.
Was it got, it got packed?
Yeah, they got stressed out there too. Wow.
Let's go back, because I still don't fully comprehend what went on at that Coliseum. Was that like panels?
It's just panels. So every hour they have like a different speaker showing their game, Q&A with the people that are on it. They're there. I think Jeff Keighley was hosting that the whole time. So yeah.
I know when we walked by near the end of the day, there was a tournament going on, and people were watching some
but that's outside of the theater.
Right. Yeah, that was outside the Nokia or the Microsoft Theater. I don't know what it's called.
Microsoft Theater. Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Right. So any games got your attention today? I know we've been to a couple of the events. We talked about Mario Rapids a day ago. We talked about that. Ubisoft had a great event. Also, Microsoft. Anything you guys got to see here today that's got your attention, though?
Strange Brigade from Rebellion.
What's that game about?
All right, so Rebellion's been known over the last couple of years doing really strong co-op couch games. Probably the best way to describe it is Left 4 Dead meets 30s and 40s type, like, throwback TV. You know, they've got, like, the strange announcer voice coming in. Oh, look, you know, welcome to Strange Brigade. It actually sounds similar to that. And it's pretty fun, right? So it's something silly that you can sit on a couch and play co-op in your house, or you can play online. Mm-hmm. No date has been given out yet. There's an interview that will be dropping, I want to say, tomorrow. So after this show comes out, stay tuned to the RSS feed. It'll be popping out. Talks all about it. Good stuff.
Cool. Dan, you got to see anything?
Two main things that are kind of sticking out to me. I'm not going to make it Destiny Radio, I promise, but Destiny 2 looks really, really, really good. I think that they hit pretty much everything that they needed to hit, and I'm kind of like looking forward to coming out. I just have to choose what platform to play on, because I've been on Xbox, but Paris is bringing me over to the blue side.
Oh, so okay.
It's hurting right now.
Are you a PC guy or no?
No.
You consoles?
I used to play PC like back in the day, but I'm just not, like, you tell me you need a new video card, and I'm like, I'm gonna dip out right now. Like, I'm good. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I've mainly always been on Xbox. And but a lot of stuff, even with the Xbox One X coming out, a lot of stuff is appealing to be on PlayStation, especially after their showcase. I think they did really well.
Cool.
And one that's really sticking out to me, and I want to learn a lot more about, I'm going to try and bum rush the Ubi booth tomorrow, is Skull and Bones.
Mm. You know, I'm super excited to play that game.
I feel like it's a marriage of two different Ubisoft things. It's a marriage of obviously the naval gameplay from Assassin's Creed, and I think that it's For Honor kind of merging into that naval gameplay, and I think it looks...
For Honor? Why For Honor?
Just the PvP, group up with friends,
okay.
Like, just, and the it feels like the attitude to it kind of just merges really well with the naval gameplay. The only thing that sticks out to me, I don't know if any of you guys noticed this, during the that trailer that they showed, the first pirate that was, like, all tatted out, and he was, like, bowing and whatnot. Right. Did he remind you of Jared Leto's Joker? He really just...
He was like Jared Leto's Joker meets Jack Sparrow.
Right? Like, he just... When he came out, I was like, is that... Like, I was looking for the damage tattoo on the forehead. Yeah. Like, he looked... I was like, maybe they got some inspiration from the worst character from Suicide Squad. So, like, that one's sticking out to me. And I'm a big Assassin's Creed buff. So, a lot of... I think Ubi nailed it, everything that they did, even down to South Park Mobile. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really looking forward to their slate. And Call of Duty World War II... I have big hopes for Sledgehammer more than anything else. Not just that IP, but Sledgehammer themselves. Mm-hmm. I think that they did really well with Advanced Warfare, and I think that World War II, they're going to knock it out of the park. And marketing-wise, I don't know if you guys got the email or saw it, but Activision was flying World War II planes above the building.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, they did at 4 o'clock and 4:45, they were sending fleets of World War II planes above the building.
Wow.
So
that is pretty dope.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, from
you were outside when that happened?
From a marketing standpoint, I was like, oh, I
genius.
Love that. I would love that budget.
Yeah. That's pretty dope.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. Gamertag Radio presents E3 2017 coverage. Hosts Danny Pena, Paris Lilly, and Peter Toledo are direct from the convention center floor.
Here we go.
Paris, anything with you?
I got to see the new Dragon Ball Z. It was called Dragon Ball. Was it Dragon Ball Fighters Z? I believe that's what it's called. Which is the only time I had.
Thank you, Namco.
But looks interesting. I like the three character assist technique that they're doing. So let's say I'm fighting Goku versus Frieza. I could have Gohan and, I don't know, Cell on my team come in and assist me to fight Frieza, and then Frieza could have Vegeta and Majin Buu on his side, and they would come into, they throw like their attack and their assist. Like, let's say, like they showed an example where Goku, he got hit and stunned, but he called in his assist right at the same time. So his assist was Vegeta. So Vegeta came in and threw his attack onto Frieza, and that allowed Goku time to recover. And then Goku comes in and fights. But the fighting techniques look really good, look really smooth. I mean, it looks like it's straight out of the cartoon, everything with the characters. They're going to have Japanese voice, and they're going to have English voice cast in there. And then they're going to have it subtitled for, like, I think Russian, Polish, a couple other things that they were saying as well. But it looked like a lot of fun. Like I said, it looked like it was ripped straight out of the TV show.
And the graphics looks amazing, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. It looked amazing. Wow. And everyone was able to hit their power sets. They're not talking about it fully, but even in one of the B-roll footages they showed us, you see Goku fighting Super Saiyan, and then he does something, and then he goes to Super Saiyan 3. You know, while
that's the one with the big bushy hair.
Yeah, that's the one with the super long hair. Yeah. He does it while that, and then Frieza goes to Gold Frieza. You know, so you are going to be able to level your characters up. The only characters they showed, it was six of them. So it was Goku, Gohan, Vegeta, Frieza, Cell, and Majin Buu.
Those were
six. That's all they showed that they're going to talk about.
I wanted to follow up and ask, you know, like, did they show the full slate or,
no,
you know, because.
That's what I mean. They only showed those six, but come on, we know there's going to be more.
Got to be Krillin.
Right now,
some Krillin.
They're only confirming 1080p, 60 frames per second. On all platforms. Obviously, we know Xbox One X would be capable to do more, but they're not talking about that today. But yeah, overall, it looked really good.
Do you think they have a marketing deal with Xbox?
It sounds like it, because it debuted during the Xbox showcase. So, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, they're not talking about any DLC or exclusive features or anything today. It's just that initial announcement. Cool. But it looked good. I didn't get to see Project Cars 2, which is why the hell I was here in the first place.
I'm super curious about that, because I love racing games.
So I got to go back. I got to go back for Project Cars 2 so I can get some more information on that. Yeah. But yeah, like you, I'm real curious to see what that's going to be like.
And I think the conversation we had when we were driving from your house to L.A., you mentioned about that game that one of the developers was really like pushing about Scorpio, what now is Xbox One X. So I'm very curious to see how it actually looked. Like, you know, we'll see. I hope you get a chance to see it, man.
Yeah,
you know,
no, I do cool. too. I do too. The other, you know, going back to Sunday, actually, because I did do an interview. If you guys go listen, and you'll in the archives, you'll be able to pick that up. But Sea of Thieves, I'm a believer now. Where I was skeptical before, like I said, what they showed during the press conference, Xbox press conference on Sunday, I was like, oh, this looks like a lot of fun. And then Monday, I actually got to play it. Went, you know, with a full four-man crew, and we went on a treasure hunt, all that. And it was a lot of fun, man. Again, bringing it back to Destiny, it's similar in that way of you got to communicate the whole time. You can't just be a rogue agent and do whatever you want. You and your crew needs to constantly communicate, use teamwork, work together, because you're manning a pirate ship, and it takes all hands on deck to manage that pirate ship. The one cool thing that I did learn during Sea of Thieves is any other ship that you see out there, they're all human controlled. There won't be any NPCs when it comes to that, because we're actually in what is considered, I guess, like the alpha, I guess, right now, because they said there's about 50,000 players in that right now. We were live in that world, because at one point we had someone just shooting at us from an island. And I even asked him about that. I go, is that an NPC? He's like, oh, no, that has to be another human.
So the only AI is just the enemies, like
the skeletons.
Skeletons,
and things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one dynamic when you go into treasure maps, we had got a a sorrow chest. And the sorrow chest, you when you pick it up, you'll see it just water just gushing out of it, like foaming out of it. Mm. What it is that that chest is cursed. So when you get it on your ship, it's constantly flooding your ship. So the whole crew has to work together, getting buckets. You know, you go down below and you get the water out and throw it over deck. And the more people that are doing it, the quicker it, you know, so it doesn't fill up or whatever. And you got to constantly do that until you get that treasure back to the base. And then you basically sell it. And those chests are worth more than standard chests. And there's other kind of chests. And so a lot of little things like that, that, you know, this isn't meant to be. This isn't Skull and Bones or whatever the Ubisoft game is. It's lighthearted, but it's a fun co-op experience is what I took from it. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more of it.
That's the thing. I think that when people get to see like the presentation of a game, sometimes you'll be like, it's not for me, you know, or sometimes you will say, man, this game looks amazing. But once you get to play it, that's when you make your final decision. Like, okay, is this for me or not? Last year, I was trying to convince P in Paris about Sea of Thieves, and you were like, it's okay. But I feel like this year they did a better job presenting the game a lot better. The people would be like, man, you know what? I want to try this game out, man. Yeah. I definitely want to play this, man. Yeah. So that's good that you get to change your mind, man. Very awesome, man. P, we have a sponsor for this week, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready for it. I'm kidding. I kid. Yeah. All right, so... You know, we've been talking PC, went to the PC Gamer Show. We're going to be doing a roundtable discussion about that later this week. And it's perfect segue because, you know, obviously we've been sponsored now. We've got this deal with Western Digital. Shout out to them. Thank you very much for that, you know, helping us out for the, you know, for E3 and everything else going, you know, moving forward. So with Western Digital, you're now able to get solid state drives and hard drives to fit your unique needs. When you add the superior performance of a Western Digital solid-state drive to your PC, you get blazing read speed so you can boot your system quickly or load games and other applications in a snap. Combined with a reliable WD hard drive, you get up to 6 terabytes of storage to keep your games library, direct feed video, podcasts, and more all in a single place. For a limited time only, Gamertag Radio listeners can get 20% off WD solid-state drives with the coupon code WDGTR. Find out more at WD.com/GTR.
And Pete, I have to interrupt you because I'm looking at Twitter right now. And @Doug_Beal is saying, I listen to every Western Digital commercial Gamertag Radio plays because Vicious 696 has such a soothing voice.
I swear to God.
All right, so moving forward, I present to you Vicious 696.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, go to WD.com/GTR. Use our code WDGTR. Get 20% off those SSD hard drives.
Yeah. Take advantage, man.
Absolutely. All jokes aside, absolutely take advantage of this because, dude, you're getting 20% off. I mean, that's a great deal. If you're looking to get into video editing or you're doing game capture, things like that, you're going to need the space. Why not? If you're a hardcore gamer on the PC side, you're building a new rig, you're going to want an SSD drive because you're going to get faster load times and read speeds, which is half the battle.
Now, usually we're like walking around, going to like, West Hall, South Hall. Sometimes you meet up with people from the industry and there's always a buzz about a game like, yo, you got to check this game out. Has been like any conversation like that while you're going to like meetings or maybe when we go to like parties or whatever, you have conversations with other people. Have people been telling you, you got to check this game out or product?
Well, the game I played today was called How to Avoid the Green Badge. That's what I played. it was a very frustrating game. Very frustrating because I lost a lot.
Only Paris.
I'm not doing this next year. I'm just telling you, as much as I love seeing everybody at E3, if it's not in the meeting room, I'm not going. I'm not doing it. I'm not going on show floor anymore.
You know what's funny? In counter to that, when we went to EA Live a couple of days ago, we were done with our creator content stuff. Shout out to EA. For hooking this up and giving us the opportunity to check out their stuff. Mm-hmm. But as we were leaving, they were opening the doors to the public to come in. And we actually had that quick conversation about seeing the look on the faces of the participants as they came in to enjoy it for their first time. And it was like, okay, we see why they're doing it. You know, it's kind of like Christmas and you know, Hanukkah or whatever, and birthdays all wrapped up into one, because, you know, those enthusiasts are coming in and checking out what we, I guess, could you potentially say we're taking for granted, right? Because, you know, we have that luxury, that opportunity to check out games in advance. So not to say that, you know, they're getting that opportunity. Hell, at the end of the day, they're paying for that opportunity to do it, you know, so.
But I think, at the same point, chat around social media was, because EA's thing, you had to book. Like, you booked a ticket for EA Play within a certain time window.
Right.
The majority of people that had those time windows later in the day, they didn't get in. Even if they booked. It was overbooked. It's too many people. Drop it by 5,000. Drop it by 7,500.
But here's the thing, though.
If your parents drop it by 15,000.
Your parents drop it by 40,000.
Right now I'm thinking of a listener that listens to this. They download the podcast and they hear us complain and all that stuff, right? So we used to be like that. That was our dream, to be to like attend E3. Paris, you said you came to E3. You were not media. This is what 2001. Awesome. So same thing with me. I couldn't get a second badge. I had a fake badge, actually. Somebody just gave me a badge with a different name, so I was Lucas for the whole week. But I came to E3, right?
You look like a Lucas.
Lucas. My name is Lucas. But the thing is, I understand that from that side. I understand. You know, like, that's a dream from a lot of people to attend E3, you know? I think that I don't blame them. I blame the people that organized the event. Having more organized, like, I've been having conversations with a couple of people within the industry. They were saying that when you go to Gamescom, they are very organized. Very organized over there. They have the press day. They have the fans day for them to check out the games and everything like that. But also the design of the event, it's easier for people to walk around. There's people that will tell you, okay, don't come to this area. It's not too crowded. You know, I feel like this one, it's like, here's the booth. Okay, enjoy. Yeah. And it's not organized.
And
you know?
Gamescom, from what I understand, they have it separated where they have, it's almost like replicated. There's two halls where it's replicated. This is here for the fans, and then this is here for everybody else. LACC is not equipped to do that at all. But on the flip side of that, I definitely feel that for the fans. Like 2011, I was managing a pizzeria, and I watched E3, and I said, I want to be there the next year. I opened a website and I busted my hump until I was there the next year. So there are ways to do it. I know that the numbers fluctuated from what you have to have and all that different stuff in terms of views and the beautiful CPM. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, it's something that's really weird, but it's a little rough, but kind of going back to your original thing of what I've heard kind of from the floor, like, if you've got to see something, some of them are behind closed doors, but Life is Strange too. There's kind of a buzz about that I wasn't expecting, because it's a sequel, and, you know, sequels, I'm like, I get the buzz, but it's more of a something come back again, you know. Mm-hmm. Something that I really, really want to see is Days Gone. Because I feel like that game got restarted at some point.
It did.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's The Last of Us 2.
You did?
Yeah, okay. Well, we talked about it outside of the PlayStation.
It's very, the demo from last year was very Gears of War, you're on a turret and you're just firing and I'll take them down. And this year felt very
different.
Hello, I'm Uncharted.
Yeah.
So it's
same graphics suit,
like the copy pasta. Right?
The whole feel of it changed, and I'm kind of curious as to why. And even being behind the scenes and like doing stuff with, you know, I work with developers and talk to them and stuff, things can change, but this feels like a really massive change that a lot of people aren't kind of noticing very much.
Could it be that it was like that video that they showed last year was more of a like, here's a concept?
Possible.
Because honestly, the game looked, both of them looked totally different, man. Yeah. If you look it up on YouTube, look for the old video and this one.
But that's also after a year of development, yeah, right? So that could have been an early build, just to, you know, like you said, maybe it was an early test just to gauge, you know, the response from people. You know, give it a week or two after the show, and then say, okay, well, you know, let's gauge numbers and see how the hype went. Or maybe it was just legit early in development, and they hadn't, you know, maybe it was only 50% of the assets, you know, thrown on there just for looks.
Yeah, it could have been give us a hype build for E3, and it just wasn't representative of what was going to happen at the end.
Here's the thing, too, that it happens every year. Companies will create an awesome trailer just for E3.
Yep.
For example, Watch Dogs. Remember the first trailer of Watch Dogs? Everybody was like, what in the world is that?
Blew you away.
But then the game comes out, and it's like, wait a minute, that was like a downgrade. So there's a couple games that we got to see, not only on Xbox, but also PlayStation, in my opinion. I'm a little bit worried, is it going to be the same once the game comes out?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a downgrade? I don't know, man.
I think there's a couple
that I'm like, I need to, like, right now everybody's hype about it maybe, but I want to see the actual game, man. Once it, like, not once it comes out, but at least closer to the launch window, you know, like.
I think a lot of the companies that were showing stuff this week kind of leaned on things that weren't gameplay. And it kind of hindered expectations, because I can get hype over a trailer any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know what I'm going to play. That's why I give them credit for showing gameplay from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So
you know what? We have to talk about that, because I was a little bit hype about Detroit. I'm not really. It looks okay now.
It didn't sell me. Like, yeah. I was really like, I want to see Detroit. Like, and I even told somebody else, like, I was like, that's the one thing that I really want to see at the press conference. And I was like, I saw it, and I was like,
okay, it's okay.
Yeah, I can play it, but it's not something that I'm going to be like, yo, let me run to the store and grab this.
It actually gave me a different feel from last year.
Yeah.
But like, in a good way or a bad way?
I don't know. Like, it
was like a huge question mark. Like, no, I don't know if I should.
Yeah, it didn't compel me to run to hit that pre-order button. Whereas last year, I liked the story of, you know, and maybe it's because it didn't give me that. It didn't give me that social feel of, you know, it's an android fighting for independence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
they changed direction. I mean, they threw the freaking Grey's Anatomy dude in there. So it's like, as soon as I saw...
What's your name? It's like
Jesse.
What's his name? Jesse.
Yeah, his little pretty eyes. I was like, man.
He's like, wink.
Those things get right to your heart,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was trying to look into my soul, man.
Trying to flex on you.
That might be something that could be a hindrance to Sony, because we just talked about two games that look different from one year to another year, and they are very much a company that when E3 rolls around, obviously they have the PlayStation experience where they really go hard and they show everything that's coming closer, but now everything is very, this is 2018, this is 2019, and it could change really quick. So,
by the way, Miss Leo told you at the Sony press conference what they were going to open it with, what they were going to close it with, and what they weren't going to show, and who was right.
Hey, your cookie is outside. Go get it.
Yeah, chocolate? You want chocolate?
Where? Because I would really like it.
Chocolate and
now,
salt.
Okay, now, I know we talked about this a couple times now, but they show already Spider-Man twice. It says 2018. The trailer. Are they going to show this again next year at E3?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not going to come out to the holiday of 2018. So,
Four times, not going to come out till 2019. Come on.
Why? But what is that?
Two times I think is good. Show like the first, yeah. like, you know, next year.
And Sony sell or not yet.
No, but then they say it's out. They show it a third time and say at the end, October 18th, 2018. That's not bad then. They're committing to a date at that point.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, those going over and over and over again on the and
it's
showing a multiple,
Paris,
it becomes like No Man's Spider-Man.
It's
like, how many times are you going to show the same thing?
I know everybody's excited about Spider-Man. Don't get me wrong. I'm one of the first person. I'm like, man, I'm going to buy this. Like, but as an E3 presentation, it's very repetitive. Three times already, and then everybody's like, okay, they won. Oh my god! It's like. No, don't. I think they should just do this, like, show Spider-Man, date, and that's it. Don't show, like, a whole gameplay.
Unless they go spring of 2018, which I just don't think. I feel
like God of War's coming in.
No, I think it's going to be holiday.
I feel like it's going to be spring of 2019, to be honest. I don't think it hits 2018.
See, like, God of War, that's early 2018.
Yeah, so they're
going to show that to
him. Maybe summer? Maybe summer?
No, Spider-Man's too big. If it was tying with the movie, then I would say yeah, but movie's coming out this year, so
right.
yeah. I think it's holiday.
All right.
So to me, I'm not complaining because what I saw, I enjoyed. So
course,
I thought it looked great.
Make sure you polish it and then bring it out to the public.
So if that means you want to show it to me one more time before it comes out and give me a release date, so be it. That doesn't necessarily bother me.
So let me ask you this. If that was another company that's not Sony doing that, was that okay?
Yeah, why would it be? Why does it matter if it's Sony or not?
No, because it's like...
You want me to say because it's Xbox?
I'm not trying to be a fanboy or anything. I'm being serious. Like, if it was Microsoft showing, let's say, Halo three times...
They would catch flag.
But if it's Sony showing Spider-Man three times... 3 years.
I think they get away with it because it's Sony and Marvel. There's the generosity to Spider-Man and a Spider-Man game that's not kind of thrown out there by Activision.
You know what? Let's talk about this. Let's say Cuphead. I think they've shown it three times.
Yeah.
And everyone cheered when they showed it that third time with a damn date. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. There's your precedent right there.
I don't know. Two times is good.
Okay.
I'm excited, but I just show us other things, man.
That's why I was happy to not see any Death Stranding.
I agree. See, because that's a ways off, so you need to stop showing it. But I guess that's my point, Danny.
Yeah.
So. Which would you rather prefer? It not show up at E3 at all this year and then magically comes back next E3 and then a date? Or, you know, they show it now and then don't talk about it at all next E3 and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Spider-Man's coming out October 13th, 2018.
I'm talking more of about the presentation. I'm not talking about showing the date. I'm talking about present. I'm there as a... media fan or whatever, just there.
When you saw it, were you hype?
Of course I was hype. But
so they did their job.
But here's the thing. It's like, look, it's the moment where we're there, right? Thinking about it like a day, 2 days later, I'm like, why they show that three times? Like, it's like, why? Because they don't have the software. The company want to look good.
Yeah.
You know, so don't show it. Announce it, press release. Don't show it, but as a presentation.
It's a major title for them, so give them the opportunity to sizzle and hype the game to continue to build buzz and awareness about it, that it hasn't been forgotten.
Pete, let's say they don't show the game. Let's say Cuphead. Microsoft don't show it. And there's a press release that has the official date. People are going to get hyped either way. Like, it's fine. I'm talking about presentation-wise.
I just think a press release... in 2017 doesn't garner as much bang than a 45 second or a minute sizzle on YouTube or a video.
Yeah,
you know why Rockstar is successful with their games besides making great games? They don't show them much.
They keep it quiet and they go.
They keep it quiet and their formula works. Look at Grand Theft Auto. Years later and it's still selling. They didn't show trailer three times and three, like, you know what I'm saying? So
they could be successful without doing that.
That's Rockstar. That's the outlier. That's the one company that does that. But they do that because them, or actually their consumers, know. They'll push out their game or the release until it's ready. They'll polish and polish and polish and polish until Danny falls asleep. No, but they'll keep working on it, and the consumer, the Rockstar customer, knows this, so they'll wait. They're patient about it because they know when it does drop, you know, you're going to get that shiny pebble. Not everybody does.
So you think Sony has to kind of keep giving that beat to their fans, kind of like keep revving them and keeping their pulse up? Because from here, like, if they go to PlayStation year. Experience, which is growing, and they don't show Spider-Man, then what are people going to think? Because then they're going to have to show it at PlayStation Experience, and they're going to have to show it at E3 again, and unless they show it at PlayStation Experience, and then they say it's out in spring of 2018.
Well, when is PlayStation Experience?
You know, December.
Normally December, right around the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Okay, like, so week before, if they don't drop the date, the hardcore date, as opposed to, you know, a concrete release date, I would assume it'd be either at Game Awards or PSX. Yeah.
Because I feel like they were holding some stuff for PSX.
Of course.
They are. It's more indie focused.
Yeah, when you only
have like one big title,
like The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And when they only had Sean Layden come out and talk, and then Sean Layden come out, talk, and leave. Like, they normally, a lot of these press conferences, we're bringing developers out, these people talk about, they were like, bum, 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 bum. So it's felt like they might have been saving something. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna wrap it up. Anything else you guys want to talk about, or are you good?
Well, I've just been complaining the whole episode, so
we're just tired. Honestly, we're tired.
Yeah,
it's been
tired. It's
E3.
You're in Salt Bay, so it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. I guess I would say I got a chance to sit down with Plantronics today as well. They showed me their whole line of Dolby Atmos headphones that are coming to Xbox One and Windows 10. That was pretty interesting to check out, and hopefully after the show we'll get some review units, be able to talk about it more. And I also got to check out Logitech, their new, when we actually use them at EA Star Wars, their G433 headsets that are coming out. They're making them more stylish because you can actually remove the boom mic, so that if you just want to use it with your mobile device or something, you can walk down the street and not look like a goofball. Also works on your PC with the Logitech G software, so you can get DTS 7.1 surround with those. It's wired, it's not wireless. They also showed me their new power pad for their G903 and their G703 mouse, where it's wireless. These are wireless mice, and they're continuously powered on the mat. So you'll never have to worry about recharging them while they're sitting on the mat. And you only need the one USB cable going to your PC for the mouse and for the actual power mat, which was cool. That's going to be $99 when that comes out later this year. And the G433 is also $99, I believe. Also $99 as well. And there's also a G233, but they didn't have that there for the demonstration. So
that mouse pad sounds good. I like
it. Yeah, no, I actually, when you guys see it for yourself, and you can go up to Logitech's meeting room and see it while we're here. But yeah, I mean, it's nice. If you're in a wireless mice gaming wise, it's perfect.
I'm just curious about the latency or the response time on it. You know, because, you know, people, especially when you're playing online, you know, they want the advantage that, you know, every advantage they can get. So
that's what is it? Their Lightbridge technology for their wireless. Because they've talked to me about this before in the past. They will put up their wireless mouse up against any. Again, this is marketing speak. We'll put it up against any wired mouse out there currently in the industry. And their pro gaming mouse, which is what I use as my daily driver right now, they hinted at a wireless version coming, which would be good.
Cool. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. We have more content. And honestly, tomorrow is going to be a big day because I have a couple of interviews lined up for our listeners. I'm super excited about this, so stay tuned. Remember, go to subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, we're everywhere. Support, share with your friends and family, let them know about our coverage here at during E3 and everything, and we're going to be out, man. So until next time, we're out.
Peace.
Peace.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.